I'm curious to know, I mean, God Bless the Go-Go's is what, 2 years old now?
Yes.
And so did you just decide it was good to come back out and play? What prompted doing it?
What prompted this tour?
Yeah.
And we tend to just go out and tour a little bit every year. And I do it because I like to play live.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's like the greatest way to make a living ever. Get up on stage, jump around, play loud guitar, take the money, get drunk, go back to your nice hotel room. You know, can't complain. It's a good life.
Yeah. The day I had today, that wouldn't be such a bad deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Except that I'm sitting right out front, so I'm going to have to go and get earplugs. Because this ear is the Ramones and this ear is the Stones.
Oh, man.
You know, so... So, are you going to play anything new tonight? Is there anything, any new material in the set?
We have a couple of new covers, and that's about it as far as new material. We really haven't written anything as a band since that last record came out 2 years ago. So, there's some songs from each of the records. Obviously, our favorite one is the first record, so the set's like heavily Beauty and the Beat. But yeah, we got a couple new covers just to keep us on our toes.
What do you want to surprise me or you want to tell me?
It's up to you. Would you rather be surprised or would you rather?
Well, this is going to run after the show, so.
Okay, well, we're doing our homage to bands that influenced us. So we do the Blondie song Ex Offender, and we do Sheena's a Punk Rocker.
Have you seen the new documentary yet?
What is it?
It's called Ramones End of the Century, and actually. Now, you see, it played at the Cinematheque in L.A., and I actually brought it to San Francisco. It's not going to be out for another year or two. In fact, people like Sean Penn and Nick Cage are looking to buy it and distribute it. But it's the first, quote, authorized. They got the very last of Joey, you know, on his last edges. And it's a very unrelenting documentary. It does not paint a happy picture.
Really?
It talks about a really dysfunctional... You know, dysfunctional family.
Do they talk about Dee Dee being a rent boy?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. They talk about the whole corner that he used to stand on. He talks about it.
It's amazing. I love that.
Oh, yeah. No. I mean, yeah, he and Iggy Pop used to hang out on that corner and do tricks. It goes to show you that's rock and roll, isn't it? I'm not saying that any of you would do that ever, but...
I guess people do what they have to do.
Yeah. So are there plans to go back in the studio? Have you guys, I mean, you don't have any new material. Have you guys kind of, I mean, I know you've kind of, you know, I think you are at this point in your lives where you play when you feel like playing, I would imagine, and nobody's really turning to you. You don't have, you know, a record company turning to you and saying, you know, you better pump out that next album.
Yeah, exactly. We have been talking about making an album just... by ourselves, making our own label, you know, putting it out that way and finding a distributor. So that's probably something we will do, but I don't know if it would be 2004 or 2005 that it would come out.
So God Bless was kind of a one label sort of thing?
Yeah. We were signed to our former manager's label, which in retrospect wasn't a good idea, and then it went out of business.
As so many have. Music, I mean, this is not even on my question list, but the music industry these days, you know, I mean, you think we're in a pretty interesting time as far as, you know, I mean, obviously, we don't have to go into the whole downloads thing, but, mm-hmm. but I mean, it really, the way people are getting their music is just so radically different than it used to be.
Yeah, it's kind of, to me, it's confusing because there's so much access to music, but there's also so much music now. It's really, really overwhelming. Like, I don't live in the States anymore, but I'm obviously in California right now, and I was picking up some of those little freebie magazines and just looking at the ads for the different bands, and there's just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these bands, and you think, well, this is just one city, and then there's all these other cities, and then there's all the music from the past, and I think it's really overwhelming. It's like a deluge of music. I don't know how anyone even keeps up with it anymore.
Yeah, do you wonder how anybody can really, I mean, make it these days, because anybody can go in their home, get a few good microphones, have Pro Tools or whatever it may be, and make a pretty darn slick record, but that doesn't mean when they get on stage that they're any good.
Right, yeah.
You know, I mean, production is, you know, I mean... I forgot who it was. I was actually interviewing Matthew Sweet a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about it, and I said, he made his latest album at home. And I said, well, isn't that great? And he said, it's not great at all. He said, I miss having the money and being in the studio and having a great engineer, and you can't record the drums well at home. You just can't do it.
Yeah, well, obviously there's good and bad points to that whole home studio thing.
So tell me a little bit while I've got you. What are you? What are you up to? What are you doing individually? What are your joys in life? You know, aside from, you know, coming back and you know, playing music once in a while?
Well, a year ago, I moved to Central America, to Costa Rica, and I've been living down there and just kind of like enjoying this really slow-paced life in the tropics. I run a restaurant, and it's just been a really huge change for me. So when I do come up here and do shows or whatever, it's a really big deal for me. It's like really special and a lot of fun, and I think I appreciate it a lot more and like enjoy the energy of being in a city and being around people and stuff more.
So was this move predicated by anything, or did you just say, you know, I can do this?
That was exactly it. All of a sudden I woke up and said, God, I could do whatever I want. I could be wherever I want. I have absolutely no ties, really. You know, no day job, no kids, no husband. I could do whatever the heck I want. So I thought, well, okay, you really need to exercise this right before you're too old to do anything about it. So that's what I did.
I'm envious. I have a 2-year-old who pogos to We've Got the Beat. So what the heck? So speaking of music, I mean, you're down there in Costa Rica, so I imagine it's a very different scene, but are you keeping up on what's going on out there and paying attention or not? In terms of music.
What's going on up here, you mean?
In terms of music, yeah, in general.
I hear bits and pieces, and when I'm up here, usually like my friends who are still all obviously heavily involved with music will play me bands that they like. But to be honest, I'm really out of touch. Like it's weird because where I live, I don't have a stereo, I don't have a television, I don't have a telephone. I'm really isolated.
Wow.
To me, it's kind of like this grand psychological experiment that I'm conducting on myself. And, you know, just kind of, I don't know, it's just this weird trip I'm on right now.
But that's great.
Yeah.
I mean, so of what you've, have you, as anything, the little you, I mean, this is kind of is an interesting psychological experiment for me now, because some stuff obviously is filtered through. Mm-hmm. What is filtered through to you? And what do you think? I mean, you get to be the grand old party of music because, let's face it, you pretty much, I don't want to say you created a genre, but you certainly, you know, you started something, you know, you and your you know,
right.
Fellow go-go's.
Right. I don't know. I can't really think about what's filtered through right now. I mean, I'm kind of trying to keep in touch with the punk rock scene because that's where my roots are and that's, you know, where my heart is and everything. And I know a few of the kids in the scene, so you know, I keep up with that a little bit, and really the sort of the pop radio thing I'm not interested in and not kept up with, because to me it's just so ridiculously manufactured, it doesn't interest me at all.
Well, yeah, and that's an interesting thing. I mean, back when you, the years that you were recording, you had all the tools. I mean, they weren't all the digital tools, but you had the tools. And I think you made an inherent decision to sound very much the, you know, what you sound like on stage is what you sound like on record.
Sort of.
I mean, you did some.
We always felt like our record sound that we never captured, like the power of live, the rocking live power that we had. But yeah, to a certain extent, we tried to, you know, pretty much duplicate that.
Yeah, so it makes it more interesting. So have you heard any of the current girl bands? There's one from San Francisco called the Donnas that's suddenly become really huge.
Are they really huge? How huge is huge?
Playing Lollapalooza. I mean, I don't know if you consider that huge, but well, let's put it this way: they're still on an independent label, but they're selling. You know, I mean, I don't think they're selling a million CDs, but they're probably have sold 100,000 or something, which in this day and age for an independent band is probably, you know,
yeah,
relatively. I mean, they're not in the top five on K-Rock, but they
right.
are. But they are in rotation, and they're
yeah.
getting played. You know,
it seems like everyone's heard of the Donnas. I'll give you know that. I know that in that sense they've broken through. They have a lot I think, a pretty high visibility. I'm just glad they're doing it. I mean, I'm totally rooting for them because, I don't know, it just seems like there's not enough all-chick bands. I know it shouldn't really matter, but it's nice to see that.
Well, you know who else is back? And I was supposed to go down to L.A., but it was they literally told me I could have 7 minutes, and I thought it was a little bit too much of a trip without the Bangles. We're playing House of Blues, and they said you can have 7 to 10 minutes, which will give you 2 or 3 questions, and don't dare ask them to do an ID. And we don't care who you were and, you know, all of that, even though we pretty much were the first to play all of this stuff, you know, on our lovely station when I was in Boston. But the Bangles are back, and they're playing, and they've got a new album that they released it in Japan, like almost a year ahead of time, which is kind of an interesting thing.
Yeah.
You know, interesting technique. Well, so, you know, they were a little later than you, but
yeah, I think we formed in 78 and they formed in 80 or 82, I think. So yeah, but I mean, whatever. The Bangles have spent their whole career being compared to the Go-Go's, which is really not that fair on them. I don't know. I wish people would let that go because they're their own band in their own right, and they have their own strengths that, you know, we don't necessarily have, and, you know, vice versa.
Well, that brings up a great question. When you first came out, who were people comparing you to, and what were they trying to do?
When we first came out.
Yeah.
What we wanted to be is like the female Buzzcocks.
Oh, there you go.
That was pretty much our thing.
January?
I think that's a very nice. I play Everybody's Happy Nowadays, and I think that I actually don't think you. Well, I think you did accomplish that to a certain extent. Do you think the difference is, though, because you were women? I mean, it's a terrible question to ask, but it's a relevant question to ask. That. If you weren't women and you were doing what you were doing and your songs were being played by men who, you know, rocked the same but had male voices, do you think you'd be in a different place?
I have no idea. It's so speculative. Who knows?
Yeah.
I can't even imagine that.
But it's interesting because you do get categorized, you know, when you're a chick band, right?
The whole chick thing is such a double-edged sword because we had so many doors slammed in our faces because we were girls, but then on the other hand, once we kind of like shoved our way in there, then it seems like it helped us too. So really, I don't know. It's hard to know for sure.
Yeah, you can't revisit history. But here's, I guess what's interesting to me though, is when I tell people that I'm interviewing, you know, somebody from the Go-Go's, they say, cool, you know, after all this time. So you had hits, you had all of that, and yet, you know, you're still cool. I mean, you sold millions of records and the cool factor's still there. So I think that's a great close before I have you do an ID, because it's a compliment that you survived that era. And it's really interesting, you know, the movie Valley Girl was just released on DVD, and actually a good close friend of mine who co-hosts my show all the time is Bonnie Hayes, you know, who did Girls Like Me that opened and all of that. And she and I talk about this all the time. You guys, you survived and you're still cool. What do you think?
Well, I don't totally agree. I think that for a long time now that we've noticed that pretty consistently we get ignored when people do these stupid women in rock or, you know, influential women in music or whatever. A lot of times they just ignore us, which I think is really messed up. And I know why it is. It's because we're in the early 80s, you know, we were kind of cute and sweet, and then the 90s girls were all tough, and that just seems, you know, more modern and appealing to people. It's like we're like the suffragettes now or something. We're just like all dated and stuff. But so I don't know that I agree, but you know, whenever anyone thinks we're cool, I just gotta be really happy about it and say thank you.
I think you have a great attitude, and it comes through in your songs. I mean, now when I listen to Tangled or something, I'm gonna have a whole different point of view. So I do.